Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. We continue with our chat with Dick Cavett.
Parr was amazing because he was the first one to introduce something other than just entertainment talk into the late night realm. I mean, he would talk issues. I've heard him described as a firecracker. I think Richard Benjamin once described Jack as a firecracker because you never knew what would happen with Jack on the air. Why didn't Jack stay on The Tonight Show longer? Why do you think?
I, who worked for Jack on The Tonight Show,
right,
one day, not decades ago at all, was stunned when somebody said, how many years is Jack on The Tonight Show? And I said, well, see, he was before me and after me. Probably 10. It's 5.
That's right.
And he also, I personally, of these ears, heard him admit, it's the greatest mistake I ever made.
Yeah.
He was in a petulant mood. Jack's, I don't know how he survived living with his personality. It was the most quixotic, eccentric, neurotic, complicated, punishing, all over the place, dangerous, volatile personality I've ever been around, and that made it great for television.
Of course, yeah.
Kenneth Tynan, the British critic, said when he saw Jack the very first time, he realized it doesn't matter who else is on the screen with him. You can't take your eyes off Jack, even if it's Cary Grant, because if you take your eyes off Jack, you're afraid you'll miss a live nervous breakdown on your home screen.
Because even when he was sitting in a chair, he had just this frenetic appearance to him. You could see him thinking. You could see the mind working and working through the situation. It was especially for that time when television wasn't as visual as it later became. It was quite an odyssey to be able to watch that every night.
Yeah, there's nobody who ever had anything like that to that degree. Yeah, you're right. Just looking at that face in a single shot, you can see things rippling and seething and bubbling and threatening to explode.
So 62 comes along. Jack says goodbye. Here comes Johnny. How different was that in terms of as a writer to be able to or to have to? How did you have to change what you did on a nightly basis to be able to write for Johnny as opposed to Jack?
Not a great deal in the sense that if you can write for anybody, the reason you can write for them is that you can hear them in your head. Bob Hope's head writer explained that to me. He said, these guys who don't make it as writers can't figure out why.
Right.
And it's because they word the joke wrong for Jack Benny. They word it the same way they would for Danny Thomas or the way they would for Alan King. And they're all different.
Yeah.
And I knew how Johnny sounded from Nebraska because I would hear his radio show when he was on in Omaha and I was in high school. But it's that. I would never worry. Many of the same things I wrote for Jack, I could write for Johnny. It isn't that they're totally different. Most of them, in fact.
I find it incredibly ironic that both you and Johnny are from Nebraska and both dabbled in magic early in your professional careers.
I know.
Isn't
what
amazing?
Else do we have in common?
I don't know.
Well, I never married any woman whose first name began with the letter J. That would have done it. But we were such good friends, and when I went on, people expected me to suffer the fate Joan Rivers did with Johnny, I guess.
Right.
And he would call me and chat with me about the show, and I'd call him, and that never happened. He was so fond of me, it almost puzzled me that we would be such good friends, because his staff could never believe, for example, because I went on his show many times as a guest, I'd go on after a Cavett show had been canceled. And Johnny would have me on the next Monday and say, if this one doesn't work, it's Armed Forces Radio for Richard. And we'd laugh. He said once, introducing me, and I hadn't heard the intro, standing behind that many-colored curtain where you sat quaking with your nerves to walk out on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
I saw it on a monitor. I couldn't hear it. When I got home, I heard it from the hotel when the show ran. And he said, we always have a kind of fatherly feeling about Richard, and he looked a little teary.
Really?
So those who think Johnny was a cold fish with a ramrod up his spine,
right,
as I said at a roast of him once, were not entirely correct.
I grabbed your IMDb, your Internet Movie Database. It's amazing just how many films you have been as well. And I noticed, and I've done some background acting, I also saw that you were a background actor on the old Phil Silvers show on a Bilko episode. Is that not correct?
I do believe that may be online somewhere.
Really? I'd love to see that.
You really ought to see it. The episode is called Bilko's Godson.
Okay.
Bilko ends up in a college classroom himself with the young student. And I was hired as an extra to be a young student. And I quickly knew to sit. I checked, where's Mr. Silvers going to sit?
Mm-hmm.
Director told me, and I said, and so I grabbed the chair next to him. And in one of them acting normalcy,
right.
I tapped my pencil. And I was heard that later, he said, who's the kid who knew to tap the pencil and steal the scene? Milton Berle said, always have to be doing something to bring the eyes to you.
Exactly, true,
be
yes.
Straightening your tie, straightening the flap on your pocket, checking for dust on the table.
I love how you have been, and your show has been woven into several films over the years. Obviously, Forrest Gump.
I know, I get all the worst parts in movies. Nobody ever wants the cat.
I think it's great. I mean, and there's a clip in Apollo 13 when the astronaut who had to stay home because they thought he had the measles, he's sitting there upset, and he's watching you tell jokes about the mission to the moon. And it's a clip from your old show. But there's a movie that one of my favorite movies is a film called Frequency from the late 90s. And it's about.
Do you know, I have never seen that.
Oh, you should definitely, Dick, you do yourself a favor. I mean, it is incredibly, just the concept of time travel. It's a father and son talking to each other via ham radio from 1969 to 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incredible how in the scene, the television is playing in the both living rooms. And you have the same guest on in 69 as you then do in 99. And you see the two different shows
Whoa.
In the background. It's just, in terms of filmmaking, it's just really cool the way they do it.
Why have I been forbidden to see this movie?
See that?
You're right. Whenever I look at my list of movies, you'd think I was a movie actor. There's one called Moon Over Parador, mm-hmm. directed by, he just died recently, Paul Mazursky. And there's another one in which I'm Cavett again,
mm-hmm.
Directed by John Frankenheimer, called The Day of the Gun.
You're in Beetlejuice, obviously. Everybody knows that you're in Beetlejuice. So.
But Beetlejuice seems to be is the one where I have the most to do, I guess.
Yes, you sure do. Yes.
Are you in the mood for a quick, spooky story involving the movie Frequency? The young physicist who appears in the film and had that best-selling book at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Green, is that his last name?
I think so.
Damn. Anyway, Google it, folks. We're sitting together at a table the night before shooting. A director got us all to go to a restaurant and chat. And I dropped something, and I said, I looked down for it, a knife or something, and I couldn't see it. I said, I think it disappeared, and then I found it.
Mm.
And he said, at my left elbow, things do get lost. And I thought, what a vapid statement that is.
Yeah.
I said something like, I expected more from you.
The master of the obvious.
Yeah, and he said, no, let me tell you. When I was a kid, about 8 years old, we're opening Christmas presents, and I got a Captain Marvel watch.
Okay.
And I was thrilled. It was an all red, like Captain Marvel was, watch. And I dropped it on the carpet, which had some red in it. So I didn't see it immediately. So I thought, well, it's kind of checked all the roses and all. We never found it.
Wow.
That gives you a little bit of goose flesh.
A little, the chills just started to creep up my spine.
There was a room full of people there to help find it.
Maybe 30 years later and someone had turned up and just like the plot and Frequency, you never know. But
it could show up glued to your face right in the middle of a public appearance.
And yeah, and there it would be. That's where that's been all this time. But
there's a movie idea for us.
That's right, and it's a good idea. I have to tell you, Dick, right now, I mean, and this is complete honesty, I feel like a graffiti artist getting the chance to sit at the foot of Michelangelo. This has been quite a treat for me. It really has been, and I know for my listeners as well. So the program, once
again... Can I use that line?
Yes, and just say, Kalegi told me I could use it, and yeah. We'll be fine. So the program...
You have to go through your life saying Kalegi spelled the usual way?
Yeah, you know what? And it's been mispronounced Kalegi, Kalegi, you know, but it's very easy. K-A-L-E-G-I. Everything. Uh-huh. So, and people said, why don't you change your name? Well, I don't want to. I'm me. I'm proud to be me.
Nothing's wrong with Ed.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Ed's a very fine name. My son is Eddie. My father is Ed, so we can't think of any other names in my family.
Are you going to be Hawthorne Kalegi or something?
You know what? That's not a bad idea, Dick. That's pretty good. The program, Dick Cavett's Watergate, a look back at a fascinating time in this country's history through the prism of the one and only Dick Cavett, premiering this weekend on your local PBS station. Dick, thank you so much for joining me, and hopefully we will get to do this again real soon.
Thank you, Ed. We must celebrate this someday.
Sounds good.
Glass of beer.
Take care, my friend.
Okay. So long.
And I want to thank Dick Cavett once again for being such a great guest. I mean, it's Dick Cavett. The guy can tell stories all day. There is no one that he hasn't spoken with. And the guy is such a raconteur. The stories from his Tonight Show days, just a fascinating guy. And I was quite lucky to be able to spend time with him earlier this week. Inside story, I had hoped for 10 minutes. And that was the original agreement, was we were going to chat for about 10 minutes. We spoke for about 45. And it was quite a thrill for me, and something I won't soon forget. And this is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than proactiv. Announcing today's Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-677-6111 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-677-6111. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-677-6111. 1-800-677-6111.